ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 24, The Subterranean Heavenly Planets, text number 21. Oh, I didn't bring my glasses, sorry. Tad bhaktanam atmavatam sarvesham atmani Atmada Atmata Yaiva Tad Bhaktanam Atma Vatam Sarvisham Atmanyatmada Atmata Yaiva Tad Bhaktanam Atma Vatam Sarvisham Atmanyatmada Atmatayaiva Tad Bhaktanam Atmavatam Sarvesham Atmanyatmada Atmatayaiva Bhaktanam Atmavatam Sarvesham Atmanyatmada Atmajaiva Ladies? Atmavatam Sarvesham Tat, that, bhaktanam, of great devotees, atmavatam, of self-realized persons, like Sanaka and Sanatan, sarvesham, of all, atmani, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the soul, Atmade, who gives himself without hesitation. Atmataya, who is the Supreme Soul. Paramatma, Eva, indeed. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as a Supersoul, sells himself to his devotees such as Narad Muni. In other words, the Lord gives pure love to such devotees and gives himself to those who love him purely. Great self-realized mystic yogis, such as the four Kumaras, also derive great transcendental bliss from realizing the Supersoul within themselves. Translation, please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, sells himself to his devotees, such as Narad Muni. In other words, the Lord gives pure love to such devotees and gives himself to those who love him purely. Great self-realized mystic yogis, such as the four Kumaras, also derive great transcendental bliss from realizing the Supersoul within themselves. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord became Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper, not because of his giving everything to the Lord, but because of his exalted position as a lover of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Jadati Svaparandigam Adadana Strenandantai Ridam Yachai Putapuna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo nama. So here in this verse, the word Atma comes so many times. It's a very amazing verse. Right? The whole verse is Atma, 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 Atma. And we're living in the holy land of Vrindavan, which is the land of Atma Gyan, knowledge of Atma. But we see that no one here sees us as Atma. They drop off the last A. If you drop off the last A, what do you have? ATM. So everybody sees us, they don't see us as Atma, they see us as ATM, they come with their card. Push their card in the slot, all right. Paisa do. But here in this particular verse, because Atma can also refer to the Supreme Soul. And we see here in the word for word and in the translation, what is that? First comes Bhaktanam Atmavatam. Atmavatam means those who are self-realized. And here Prabhupada clarifies it. His translation is almost like the purport. Because we don't find Sanak Sanatan in the purport, but Prabhupada says, Bhaktanam, great devotees, Atmavatam, those who have realized the Supreme Soul. Who are they? Sanak and Sanatan. Of course, there's four Kumaras, but we usually just say Sanak Sanatan just to represent the four Kumaras. So they have realized the Supreme Soul. Actually, originally, they were impersonalists. And they were fully absorbed in Brahm. And they were not attracted to anything material. Somehow they managed to wander into Vaikuntha as little boys. And eventually they smelled the fragrance. Because they were on the platform of Brahm, they could tell material and spiritual. This fragrance is nothing material. How would that be possible? Because Brahm realization means you realize everything is one. How can there be a fragrance that is special? But they were able to understand this fragrance is very special. The tulsi leaves offered at the lotus feet of Lord. And then they saw the beautiful form of the Lord and they became attracted. Thus they understood beyond the Brahm realization there is Paramatma and ultimately Bhagavan. And we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that Bhagavan realization is the highest realization. So they're perfectly Atmavatam. Atmavatam could also mean who's realized his soul, but here Prabhupada translated as one who's realized his supreme soul, Sri Krishna. Atmavatam. Atmani. To the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is the soul? He's the supreme soul. Atmade, who gives himself without hesitation. The Lord gives himself without hesitation. Just like we know Advaita Prabhu, he was calling the Lord because he saw that even though he is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, even he is unable to change the situation of Kali Yuga. Then I remember that verse. What is that? Kula Chenava. What is that? Tulasi dala matrena jalasa kula chenava swamatma vikinitam swamatmanam bhaktavyo bhaktavatsala. Bikrin, just like we know the word bikri, maybe some of who've been here in India for some time. Or when we do prikama, we always see those who can read Hindi. Ye plat bikao. So bikri means self. So vikrinatam swamatmanam. He sells himself. How? For what price? A handful of water and a tulsi leaf. Jalasya, jal means water. Of course, this side we say pani, but if you go to Bengal, then everybody says jod. Jalasya, kula chena. Kula chena means just hand palmful. How much water can you hold in your palm? It is not, even though we're buying water, the Brishvazis are amazed. These people have so much money, they buy water. They're drinking water free. But these funny white people come and they buy water. They're completely astounded. What is this? But even that amount, nobody could sell that amount in the palm of your hand. Nobody will pay money for that. And tulsi dal. Tulsi dal, dal means petal, leaf. Lord sells himself. Vikrinatam swam atmanam. Bhaktivyo bhakta. Bhaktivyo, to the devotees. He sells himself to the devotees. Bhaktavatsala, because he's Bhaktavatsala. He loves his devotees so much that even if a devotee offers him with love a little bit of water and a tosi leaf, he sells himself. Atmade, hear the word Atmade is it. He sells himself. Without hesitation. If somebody's trying to sell us a little water in the palm of our hand, we'll hesitate. Well, why should I give money for a little palm full of water? But Lord does not hesitate. It's like here, the purport, the point is here, that Bali Maharaj, he didn't become the lord of a huge subterranean heavenly planet just because he surrendered everything to the Lord. Here it says, not because he gave everything, Lord, but because of his exalted position as a lover of the Lord. Because of his love, then Krishna gave him an entire subterranean heavenly planet to rule over. Because of his love. Just like we know from Bhagavad Gita, one verse is there, it's very easy to remember, 10:10, chapter 10, verse 10. Te sam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buri yogam tam jena mam upayante te. The te sam, to those satata yuktanam, who are always yuktanam, just like we know the word yoga, to link, who are always engaged, yuktanam. Doing what? Bhajatam priti purvakam. Priti means with affection. Priti Purvakam. Purvakam in that manner. Priti Purvakam. They're doing bhajan, not like us. No, we're doing our bhajan, no priti. We're just Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Ram Ram, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Ram, Krishna Krishna, Ram, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Ram. Priti Purvakam. One has to be chanting with love, with affection. Priti Purvakam. Then, Dadami, this is first person. Krishna says, I give Buddhi Yogam, that intelligence by which he can come to me. So Krishna is not interested in your opulence. Bali Maharaj, he was ruling over the entire three worlds. He was ruling over the, but Lord was not interested in his opulence. Lord was conquered by his love. The Lord, with two steps, he covered all the three worlds. Then he said, all right, in your line, nobody has, in your line, all great kings are there, Ikshvaku, so many great kings are there. No one has ever broken his word. You promised me three steps of land. With two steps, I've already covered the whole universe. So your word will go juta, will go lie. No one in your line has ever lied. Is my Lord, one place is left. You kindly place your foot here. You kindly place your foot here. So in love, he surrendered to the Lord. So because of his love, therefore Krishna gave him whole planet. So this is very small purport, so we'll go on to the next. Navai Bhagavatam nu Navai Bhagavan Nunam Amushyanu Yograha Yaruta Punar Atmanusmriti Mosanam Maya Maya Bogaishvaryam Evatanuteti. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead did not award his mercy to Bali Maharaj by giving material happiness and opulence, for these make one forget the loving service to the Lord. The result of material opulence is that one can no longer absorb his mind in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'll read that one more time. It's very important. The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not award his mercy to Bali Maharaj by giving him material happiness and opulence, for these make one forget loving service to the Lord. The result of material opulence is that one can no longer absorb his mind in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai C.C. Gornitai, C.C. Krishna Baldao, C.C. Radha Shamsundrila, Dittipisakar Ki. There are two kinds of opulence. One which results from one's karma. One which results from one's karma is material, whereas the other is spiritual. A surrendered soul who fully depends upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not want material opulence for sense gratification. Therefore, when a pure devotee is seen to possess exalted material opulence, it is not due to his karma, rather it is due to his bhakti. In other words, he is in that position because the Supreme Lord wants him to execute service to him very easily and opulently. The special mercy of the Lord for the neophyte devotee is that he becomes materially poor. This is the Lord's mercy because if neophyte devotee become material opulent, he forgets the service to the Lord. However, if an advanced devotee is favored by the Lord with opulence, it is not material opulence, but a spiritual opportunity. Material opulence offered to the demigods causes forgetfulness of the Lord, but opulence was given to Bali Maharaj for continuing service to the Lord, which is free from any touch of Maya. So Prabhupada explains here there's two types of opulence. One is material and one is spiritual. Generally, we're very interested to get material opulence in order to enjoy sense gratification. Most of the time, we always pray to God for some material benefit. Hardly anybody prays to God for some spiritual benefit. We come to the lotus feet of the Lord in the temple and we pray. What is that? Give me a job and a car and a house by the sea, Swami Jai Jagadish Hari. But as soon as we get our house and job and house by the sea and everything, then we forget all about the Lord. This is a general tendency. As soon as one gets any material, he gets his material benefit, he prays to the Lord. As soon as he's comfortable, as soon as his distress is gone, we're always praying, please take this misery away, give me this, give me that. But this is not real, this is not pure bhakti. This bhakti will only last as long as we don't get the things that we want. As soon as we get what we want, then we forget, oh, now I got my thing, I don't need the Lord. Just like Lord is described, that he can fulfill every type of desire. All your desires. But now we don't care for the Lord. We have built the big shopping complex. We have 532 shops to fulfill all your desires. No need to go to Krishna. Now we have shopping mall. So when we get material opulence, then we forget about the Lord. Generally. But we see the special case of Sudama. Sudama was so poor, when he wanted to go visit the Lord, he was thinking, I have to take something to offer. And he asked his wife, you go see what is there to offer. Only some chipped rice. Chipped rice is a very cheap thing that you can get for just few rupees only. It's not a very opulent thing. It's a very ordinary thing. So he tied it in his cloth. And then when he came to Dwarka, he was walking on the path trying to find Dwarka. He finally asked somebody, where is Dwarka? And that person said, Ye Dwarka Che. Because they speak funny in Gujarat. He said, what am I going to do with six? I only want one Dwarka. So he said, there in front of you. So he came, he saw beautiful parks and gardens filled with, and lakes filled with lotus flowers, fountains in the ponds, everything, beautiful fish swimming in the ponds, beautiful fruit trees and flower trees, so much opulence. He came to this palace, so all beautiful marble, it was so shiny you can see your reflection, and encrusted with jewels, no need of light, the jewels were providing light. So great opulence. And he met Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna was so happy to see his pure devotee. Even though he's reigning, we just described the opulence where he's reigning in Dwarka. Here some poor little Brahman has come. Immediately he jumped from his throne. He embraced Sudama. We can't imagine. Just imagine being embraced by the Lord. Lord's touch is so soft, just like in our courtyard we have this beautiful tamal tree. You find one fresh green leaf, Lord's fingers, sometimes described as palav. Sometimes I see devotees translating twig. But palav means freshly grown leaf. You touch the very light green leaves of this tamal tree, you'll find out what is the touch of Lord. So we can't imagine Lord with his tamal leaf soft arms embracing to Sudama. And then he was so happy, he sat him down. He bathed his feet, he sprinkled the water from his devotee's feet. This is, we're talking how Lord sells himself to his devotee. He sprinkled that water on his head. He asked about his welfare. Actually, he'd come to improve his welfare. But he didn't say a thing about that. Then Krishna held his hand and said, oh my dear friend, what have you brought for me? And Sudama, seeing all this obvious, thought, how can I give this thing? How can I give this thing? He's hiding. He's hiding. And Krishna knows, but Krishna is everyone's heart. He knows where it's hiding. Immediately he took it out of his hand. He took two bites. And the goddess of fortune stopped him. If you take more, then everything will be finished. She stopped him. No, if you take any more, our whole opulence will be finished. Even Lakshmiji, she's worried. So then Sudama, then he gave him nice prasadam, he gave a nice place to sleep on bed with just as soft as a foam of milk and just as white as a foam of milk. And even the goddess of fortune was with a yak-tail fan fanning him while he rested. We just imagine the Lord is known as Bhaktavatsala, so here we see the proof. Then he completely forgot to ask Krishna for anything. He didn't ask, because this is why Krishna gives himself to his devotee. For those persons who come asking for things for themselves, Krishna gets rid of them, but you gotta take it, get out of here. Don't bother me anymore. It's like as soon as you become big person, everybody comes begging. So that big person, just to get rid of them, he gets there to take something, go. So Krishna gets some cheap thing, some material thing. Not go, beat it, don't bother me. But for devotee, he gives everything to the devotee, because devotee doesn't want anything from the Lord. He hasn't come to bother the Lord. He's come to with love. This bothering, give me, just like, you know, when somebody, just like we get so bothered, we go around on predicament, everybody give me, we get so bothered. But somebody who gives to the Lord, Lord becomes happy. Somebody's giving something, everybody else is going, give me, somebody giving, Lord is very happy. Then he surrenders even himself. So Rama returned to his house. Suddenly he also saw beautiful lakes and gardens and lotus flowers and all types of chakravarta birds and swans and cuckoos calling. Kokila singing, peacocks crying. It's so sad now, very rarely. Yesterday morning, I was standing outside. In the very distance, I heard, meow, meow. Just now, I was staying at New Vrindavan in America. All night long, inside the guest house, not outside, it's inside the guest house, all night long. Meow, meow, meow. I was feeling so happy. Our Vrindavan now has become so crowded. Unless you live way on the edge, where there's a little bit of van. Supposed to be Vrinda Ban. This will become Griha Vrind. But if you live on the edge, then you can hear the peacocks in the night. Here only maybe out early in the morning, outside, if you're standing outside, you can hear. When I used to travel, I was just with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Because Pundarik Vidyanidhi and myself, he's translated many books, some of them on our bookshelf, from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And we used to travel around to help support doing life membership preaching all over UP, MP, Rajasthan. We come back to Vrindavan and we'd lay down, we're so tired, we'd lay down and first thing we hear, meow, meow. Then we know now we're in Vrindavan. Now we know we're in Vrindavan. And now we don't hear anymore. So Sudama, he was hearing the peacocks. Then he saw where his house was supposed to be, huge palatial palace with marble and very opulent. His wife was previously just wearing a torn sari. She came with gold and silver embroidered sari. And he said, what is this? So Sudama accepted it not for sense gratification, but to serve the Lord. This is a position of devotee. If somebody is paka, Prabhupada says here, for those who are neophyte, he takes everything away. He takes everything away. Because as soon as neophyte gets something, just like somewhere on my journey this time, somebody was telling the story, someone went to Mayapur, he was chanting so many rounds and being very austere, eating very little. Then somehow he got news that his father died and he got $10 million. He was gone out of Mayapur in 2 seconds. And never seen again. As soon as we get opulence, it's finished. Our bhajan is finished. Everything is finished. But who's paka devotee, he will take that opulence, use it in service of Krishna. Just like our Prabhupada, he was always trying to do business. Let me get some money. Of course, his desire was serve, but still, Krishna took everything away just to make him completely dependent. Then with how many rupees in his pocket? 40 rupees. That time the exchange rate was 6, so this is, what, maybe $6. $6 in America, that's 2 second karch. that you spend in 2 seconds. If you want to buy a limca, or what do they call, Prabhupada, you say 7 o'clock. One time Prabhupada was sitting with all the sannyasis in his house here, and he ordered limca for all of them. And they were all drinking limca, and Prabhupada was drinking his limca, and he said, almost as good as your 7 o'clock. The 7 o'clock will cost you $2. So $6 is nothing in America. So Prabhupada, he didn't have anything, but then started with nothing, then he met Brahmananda. Brahmananda began to give his check, $400. $400 those times was a lot of money. That's like $4,000 now. It was a lot of money. Prabhupada had nothing, but then Krishna started giving him it because he saw he wasn't interested. Everybody's going. Everybody wants to go to America, do Bhagavad business, speak Bhagavad and make money. Sukadeva Goswami didn't recite Srimad Bhagavatam so you can come back to Vrindavan and build a big koti and have guard and anything like this. This is not Sukadeva Goswami's purpose. And that was not Prabhupada's purpose. He wasn't interested to build a big house and enjoy. He'd already given up all that. So Krishna gave Prabhupada unlimited. He always used to brag, we're spending crores of rupees every day. He built this Krishna Balaram temple. That time there was no temple like this in the whole of Vrindavan. Still there's no temple. Even they made temple of all marble and everything. And this one's only made of cement. Still Krishna Balaram Mandir is the most beautiful of all the temples in Vrindavan. So this is not material opulence, this is spiritual opulence. Or what does Prabhupada say? Spiritual opportunity. If some opulence come in the hand of the devotee, then he thinks, now I will do some preaching of Krishna consciousness. Right here, 22 kilometers away in Radhakund, Prabhupada got the order from a spiritual master walking on the Sangam in Radhakund. That if you ever get money, what? Print books. So Krishna gave so much money to Prabhupada. He printed so many books in every, practically there's no language left. Even in Arabic languages, the books are available. Bhagavad Gita. Almost every language of the world, Prabhupada made whatever opulence he got, he used. He established temples everywhere. His spiritual master told him only to print books, but his own service beyond that. He printed books and beyond that he established temples. He established this beautiful Krishna Balaram Mandir. And everybody told, oh, who will go there? That time when I joined Krishna Balaram, even in 1984, if we saw two cars in one day, that was traffic. And nobody came, especially during summertime. Nobody would come. We would do Gaur Aarti at night just ourselves. It was very sweet. There was hardly anybody was there, just those who could tolerate the heat. We were here chanting together because that time by 7 o'clock it's a little bit cool and fan is going. We didn't have cooler then. It was very sweet. Nobody around, just by ourselves chanting before Krishna, Varnitai and Krishna Balaram Radha Shyam Sundar. Now we can't even get into the temple room. Especially today's Sunday, you'll see, you can't even get into the temple room. And they told Prabhupada, who will go there? Why are you building way out there? At that time there was nothing here. Now we're the center of the new Vrindavan. Prabhupada built, and he built huge temple in Mayapur. And he desired a gorgeous temple there. Now this temple is rising up out of the paddy fields. Huge temple. Everybody's astounded. Going up like anything. Everybody's astounded to see this temple. So for those who are pakka devotee, then Krishna will give opulence. And for those who are not, he will take away everything. Just to make them pakka. First class devotees. So Bali Maharaj, he's ruling an entire subterranean heavenly planet. We were just anxious to get everybody anxious to buy some plot of land in Vrindavan. He was given a whole planet, not plot, but planet. A subterranean heavenly planet where there's no subterranean heavenly planet, there's no problem like here on this type of planet. Not only given a whole planet to rule over, unlimited opulence, but Lord became the Darwan, doorkeeper. Lord became the doorkeeper. Doorkeeper means the person who stands by the door. This is not very high post. Because chaprasi. This is a very low position. You don't need a university degree. You don't need high school diploma or university degree. You don't have to go to the technical college to try to learn how to take care of the door. It's a very simple job. But Lord, for his devotee, Bhaktavatsala, he's become the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. Of course, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Bali Maharaj tells a different story. When Narad Muni is looking for the most bestest devotee of the Lord, and somebody told him, you go see Bali Maharaj, he surrendered everything to the Lord. Lord gave him a whole planet, even became his doorkeeper. So Narad Muni went there and said, you're the best devotee. No, Lord just cheated me. He's not my doorkeeper. He's keeping me here so I won't cause trouble. I'm a demon. My demon's business is to cause trouble. So he's a doorkeeper to keep me inside, not to keep bad persons outside. He's a doorkeeper to keep me inside. I'm the bad person. He tells like this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So if an advanced devotee is favored by the Lord with opulence, it is not material opulence, but a spiritual opportunity. It's so nice. Prabhupada is so poetic, the way he writes. It is not material opulence, it is a spiritual opportunity. So Krishna gave Prabhupada so much opportunities to... Everybody thought it was impossible. Even other people went and they tried. Couldn't do anything. And Prabhupada went with nothing. So we said 40 rupees, nothing, $6. And a trunk, but he had an unlimited treasure, the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the Maha Chakravarti Raja of Praman, of all scriptures. It is the ripened fruit of Vedic literature. Prabhupada had unlimited wealth with him, actually. Not just 40 rupees, but he had boxes of trunks full of Srimad Bhagavatam. And his greatest wealth was his faith in the order of the spiritual master. Otherwise, we see at the age of 7 years old, people come here to Vrindavan to retire. Nobody thinks of going. At 7 years old, nobody thinks of leaving Vrindavan and go to the West and preach. But Prabhupada, what he said, the fag end of my life, I have come here. He was in Los Angeles and said, the fag end of my life, I have come here. But nobody does like that. But Prabhupada did like that. And Krishna gave him unlimited opportunity. Unlimited opportunity. Because he was simply trying to fulfill the order as his spiritual master told him. If you get money, print books. And second thing he said, you know English, so you preach. This is the first time that outside of Indian language, someone was trying to preach the pure message of the parampara. This was the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur first. He wrote many books in English. Bhaktisiddhanta also printed some books in English, and he was pushing for someone to go, and Srila Prabhupada fulfilled that desire and went to the West. But that was the greatest opulence. Two opulences Prabhupada had. One was Bhagavatam, one was the order, his desire to carry out the order of his spiritual master. At great expense, 7 years old, I mean, we still have a few years to go to get there. And still we just went traveling a little bit, and we're still trying to recover. We can't imagine. Prabhupada was not ordinary person. We're haven't even reached 70, and Prabhupada was even in his 80s, just traveling. I watched him in L.A. One time he came from traveling, and you come traveling from L.A., he's across the ocean from somewhere. He came in, sat down in the temple room, and gave class. I need a few more years, many more years to get to 80. The first thing I want to do as soon as I get to the temple is go to sleep. Prabhupada was not an ordinary being. He was specially empowered because he was fully surrendered to carry out the order of his spiritual master. So only opulent Prabhupada has this Bhagavatam and the desire to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. And just see what happened. We were there in New Vrindavan. They invited Sally Agarwal to come. You all know Sally Agarwal. She said, I was the one, because at that time her husband was not U.S. citizen, so he couldn't invite. Gopal couldn't invite Prabhupada. She said, I was the one who signed the paper. I'd done many times to please my father-in-law. But I never thought nobody ever came. We got a letter, this guy is coming. Then Prabhupada sent a picture. I think I know the picture. She looked at that picture. My God, who is this? There's one picture, I think, with Prabhupada printed for advertises Bhagavatam. But he has, you know, his ears are sticking out and big nose. And she said, my God, this person is coming? She was shocked. She ran to her as soon as her husband came home. Look, this person is coming. And then he came, and she was so enchanted by him. And he said he was so simple. She said, I was just crying and crying. When he went off to New York City, I couldn't think, what will he do in New York City? This poor man with nothing. I was crying when he left Butler to go to New York City. I said, what will he do in New York City? Then she looked around at this huge temple in New Vrindavan. But I guess he did all right. I guess he did all right. Srila Prabhupada ki. So we'll put our voice to rest here. If anybody has any question, we can try to answer your question. That's like when you go to the restaurant, do you ask the waiter, am I full? You will feel full. And then you don't ask the waiter, am I full? If you're progressing, then you'll feel happiness. We were just, because everybody's putting up posts about Brahmananda, so Brahmananda was telling that one time, or maybe it was Gargamuni was telling the other day, that Prabhupada said, how do you know Krishna is God? So everybody said, because you said so. No. And everybody said, because in Bhagavad Gita says, but no. And finally, when everybody is exhausted, then Prabhupada said, because you feel happy. When you serve Krishna, when you chant his name, you feel happy. That's the proof that Krishna is God. So if you're actually following, then you'll recognize the progress. Just like when we're sick, then we have fever. So how do we know when we're better? Fever has come down. So now we're feverish, trying to grab so many material things. I want this, I want this, I want that. When the fever comes down, then you know that feverish mentality to get this, get that, comes down. Then you know you're advancing. Is it okay? Any other question? we should always consult with the senior devotees. Just like Sanatana Goswami, he knows each and everything. And he told Mahaprabhu that everybody thinks I'm big scholar, but I don't know Kayami. Who am I? Sanatana Goswami, we can't imagine he doesn't know. But he's presenting himself like that so he can hear again the spiritual message from Mahaprabhu's lotus mouth. No more question. Everybody went to sleep in my class. Away in the back, there's question. I don't know if ours is. Maybe you'll have to come forward. I don't think our wire will switch. The duty of the grihastha devotee is to see that the devotees living in the ashram are your children. Just like you take care of your children, so all these brahmacharis who are doing the services of the spiritual master, they're all your children. Your duty to maintain them. There's only one ashram is allowed to work, that is grihastha ashram. We're allowed a certain amount of legal sense gratification, but for that legal sense gratification you have to pay high price. You have to support the sannyasis and the brahmacharis and vanaprastas. So our two main duties, one to see that our family is becoming Krishna conscious and to help our extended family preach Krishna consciousness. Because I'm working, I don't have time to go out and distribute books. These brahmacharis have given up everything. They're going out in the hot sun, here and there, distributing Prabhupada's books, so we have to help them. There are children also. That is real grihastha life. That not only I support my child, but also my extended children. And the sannyasis are going all over the world preaching Krishna consciousness, we have to help them. Is it okay? So we should see the brahmacharis and sannyasis as our children. We have to support them. If I can go out and distribute books myself, that's great. But at least we should help push on the Krishna conscious movement somehow or another. Just like Prabhupada said, in the railways, they have the slogan, keep the wheel moving. So only one person is making the wheel move, that's the guy, the conductor. He's sitting in the engine, he's pushing the button, engine starts, he's driving the train. But he can't do all that unless there's somebody sitting in the office processing the tickets, paying for the diesel bill, electric bill, this, that. It's huge, you go, railway bhavan, huge building is there just to make sure the wheel keeps moving. So it's not that just the engineer is moving the wheel. We're all, the whole company, whole railway ministry is moving the wheel. Everybody from the little clerk. So we're all Prabhupada's clerk. Somehow or other we have to, if we can't go out and directly distribute books or preach Krishna consciousness, then we help those who can. Then we're also connected. Then the electricity will come. Bzzz, you'll be connected. Here's Bhakta Mike. Why the water of the Ganges is important to Krishna? Because it's not important, it is our love that is important. It is mainly is Krishna's attracted to it because it's pure, but only because we're devotee with love is offering. Patram pusam palam toyam. Toyam means water. All water is coming from the Lord, but if we offer it back to the Lord, then He becomes pleased. It's just like offering lamp to the sun. What does the sun is lighting up the whole universe? Our lamp is hardly can illuminate a room, but Suryadev is satisfied by us offering lamp. Just like the father, he works very hard to make money. Then his father's day is, his birthday is coming. So his little son, he wants to offer something to the father for his birthday. So he goes to the Mataji, because the Matajis are very expert to get money from the Pitajis. So she says, he goes to the Mataji, I want some money to buy something for Pita. So then she gets some money from the father, and they go to the store and they buy one tie. Practically the father has bought the tie, it was his money. He bought a tie for himself. His birthday comes, his little son offers him the tie. He opens it, it's the color he hates. He's never going to wear it, only once just to please his son. But he puts it on and he says, he feels so happy. He bought the tie, but because son is giving to him with love, he feels so happy. So Ganges is coming from the lotus feet of the Lord, but because devotee is offering, then he accepts as something very valuable. So if there's no more questions, we'll fall down at the... Oh, one more question. Govinda Kant. That's the point, is that Krishna likes those, he's so enamored, he tries to give them something but they don't want to take. That's why he gives to them. Everybody else, he gives a little thing. Here, take, you want a car? I take car, get out of here, don't bother me anymore. But he gives himself. What more, what is his car? Just some making noise and polluting the air and it breaks down and causes so much headache and you have to buy insurance and then you have accidents and you have to so much trouble, it's just trouble thing. The Krishna, all right, take it, get out of here. Don't bother me. But because devotee doesn't want to bother the Lord, he gives them everything, because he knows if I will come in the hand of my devotee, he's not going to misuse me. Everybody else is, give me, give me, give me. So Krishna doesn't want to give them. He gives them some little thing, just to make them go away. But for his devotee, he loves his devotee so much, because he knows they don't want to use him for their sense gratification. This is an inconceivable relation between Lord and Lord wants to serve his devotee and devotee doesn't want to take service from the Lord. This is the exquisite exchange of love. Lord is not afraid to come in the hand of it. He sells himself to the devotee. The devotee is not going to use me for some sense gratification. This karmi, he just wants some car, he wants some this, he wants that. All right, take it, no, don't bother me. So we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who didn't want anything from Krishna, but Krishna gave him everything and established this wonderful international society for Krishna consciousness all over the world. Srila Prabhupada ki.